We do thank you, Father, for this wonderful news of your love. We pray this morning you'd help us to understand it more deeply and how it is that you want your love to reach to the ends of the earth for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do please be seated. Well, do you remember it was last weekend when the urgency grew for those boys trapped in the cave complex in Thailand? They needed to be brought out. Then, quoting a report, each cave diver prepared a boy for rescue, helping them into the neoprene wetsuits and making sure the full face masks had a waterproof seal around their face. Then came the moment in the dark, dank cave when the boys lying face down in the water were gently pushed under the surface and the rescue began. Well, can you imagine, I'm sure we did, what it would be like to be those boys? And no doubt as that moment came, as it clearly had to, they were told many times, do not be afraid. But how do you think they responded to hearing those words, do not be afraid? How do we respond when someone says that to us, don't be afraid? It depends, of course, on the situation. And no doubt there are times when we hear it, when we feel maybe like responding with, well, that's all very well for you to say. You don't understand what I'm facing, what I'm having to go through. You don't appreciate the danger that I'm facing. And I think we'd understand why those boys in Thailand at that moment would have been terrified. But of course, frightening situations are changed if there is someone who we trust speaking the words, do not be afraid. Someone who is maybe an expert who knows what they're talking about. Then we may respond to those words differently. So I don't know, but I guess if those boys in Thailand knew that they had the very best cave divers in the world with them, with the best equipment money can buy, and that the rescue had been planned meticulously, and there were people all along the way, well, maybe despite the obvious danger they were in, they would have been reassured. Well, in Matthew 10, we've seen, haven't we, over the last few weeks, that Jesus has been preparing his disciples and all who would follow for the work he would have us do after he has left. We've seen that Jesus wants all his followers to be witnesses, to make known the gospel of the kingdom, the news about him. And as Jesus explained it, it has clearly been a daunting, even a dangerous challenge. Those of us who were here last week, do you remember what he said? Jesus said that he was sending out the sheep among wolves. What a thing for the shepherd to say. He expanded and he said the disciples could expect to be delivered over to authorities, that they would be flogged publicly and very painfully. They'd be dragged before powerful people. Even their closest family members would turn against them. They would be hated. They would be persecuted. They would be put to death. It was quite something, wasn't it, we listened in on last week. But then Jesus says at the beginning of today's passage to his disciples, have no fear of them. The question is, how would the disciples take those words? Should they take them seriously? And Jesus says them to us. How should we respond when Jesus says to us, do not fear? Well, let's listen in. We're in Matthew chapter 10, page 983 in one of our church Bibles. Page 983, Matthew chapter 10, and we pick it up at verse 26. Jesus says, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you've heard whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus begins, verse 26, have no fear of them, of those who would oppose Christians. But rather than simply being an empty words, an empty attempt to console his disciples, as if Jesus is just saying, there. No, much more than that. Jesus goes on to give reasons why they should not be afraid, why we should not be afraid. Five reasons. The first is that the truth will be known. Verse 26, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Now, those who oppose Christians won't play fair. Far from it. Much will take place behind closed doors. False accusations will be made. And of course, those who employ those kind of tactics think it's fine. No one will ever know. They'll never have to give account. And it does seem that opponents of Christians do get away with it. But Jesus' point is they won't in the end. Why? Well, because the gospel is true. There will be a day of judgment when Jesus says all will be laid bare. The truth will come out. So remember that, follower of Jesus, and don't be afraid. There's more to this truth that will be known. Verse 27. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. So what does Jesus mean when he says he speaks to them in the dark, in whispers? Well, do you remember what we've seen in Matthew 10? That there was going to be a period for the message of the gospel to go first to Israel before it went to all nations. And we'll see in the gospels, much that Jesus teaches his disciples, they didn't get it, at least not before Jesus' death and resurrection. Think of that upper room before Jesus' death, if you like. That was Jesus speaking in the dark, whispering to his disciples, but as preparation for what lay ahead. But when Jesus rose again, the new era began, and so the disciples and us with them are now to go to all nations and to go public. Now remember, fear leads us simply to keep our heads down, doesn't it? To be quiet. But look at how Jesus says we should share the message in verse 27. It should be shouted from the rooftops. And the picture is obvious, isn't it? Well, I wonder, is it obvious to those who know us that we think the news about Jesus is for everyone to hear? Do not be afraid. So that's the first reason, the truth will be known. Reason two, there is more than this life. There is more than this life. So verse 28 begins, do not fear those who kill the body. Now, if that stopped there, it would be a startling statement. Because you might say, well, surely the ones who might kill the body are exactly the people we should fear. Well, of course, it all depends, doesn't it, on whether or not death is the be-all and end-all. Well, Jesus goes on, verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus tells us there is more to life than life in this world. Death is not the end, and we can believe him because he rose again from the dead. And beyond death, Jesus says here, there is hell. And so Jesus is now saying, not so much don't fear, but fear rightly. Fear the right person. Because all around us in this world, people fear those around them. The people who might cause us to lose status, maybe, or cause us to lose friends, or even cause us to lose our lives. But Jesus says, don't you see, that is not the greatest threat that you face. They might kill you, but there is one who determines our eternal destiny. Fear him. So reason two, more than this life. Jesus has more to say. Reason three, our Father is in complete control. Why do we fear the future? We don't know what it holds. We're worried of what might happen. It is out of our control. Well, it is out of our control, but it doesn't mean it's not in anyone's control. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Now, no one really gives a sparrow a second thought. They're two a penny. Birds like that die all the time. And yet we're told here, God knows when everyone falls to the ground. He is in control of it. So you might say, well, okay, God is in control of the little details like that. But actually, if God can control the details, it must mean he can control the big picture as well. So just think for a moment, shall we, what it means if God is in control of when each sparrow dies. We could think, well, what causes a bird to die? Well, for one example, cats. So God is in control of every single cat that there is. And when a cat's out of the way, therefore leaving the birds alone? Well, I guess when their owners feed them. So therefore, God is in control of every single cat owner of people. What else kills birds? I guess jet engines do. So therefore, God must be in control of the flight path of every single aeroplane in the world at the moment. And what causes the birds to end up in the jet engine? Well, it's the wind, isn't it? Therefore, God must be in control of the elements of nature, of the meteorological systems. We could go on. The Bible would underline all those things I've just said. Our Father is in complete control. Now that might raise all sorts of questions for us, but it is true, everything that happens is according to the will of the Father. And it's not just the world out there. Verse 30, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Your life and mine, right down to the smallest details, God is in control. Therefore, do not be afraid. Well, we need to include that reason with what is our fourth reason. Not only is God in control, but our Father cares. Verse 31, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Sometimes when people begin to realize that God is in control, that's what Jesus teaches, they begin to worry, am I some mere cog in this enormous sovereignty machine? But did you notice how Jesus changed the language in these few verses? It's not simply God, but we're being told the sovereign God is your Father, the God who knows you and cares for you. He knows your fears, your worries, your hopes, your dreams. And we're told he values the bird. But how much more does he value his own children like us? So our world is not out of control. There is one in control. And the one in control is very much on our side. It's our Father at work for our good. So don't be afraid. And that brings us to our fifth and final reason not to be afraid. And here it is, which is that witnessing for Jesus is what matters. Look down to verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. When we fear being a witness for Jesus, one of the arguments that we might use for ourselves is, but it doesn't really matter all that much whether I speak up. Well, here, as we look to the future, to our future, Jesus lays down, if you like, the alternatives very starkly for us. Notice the ultimate issue is not whether we get to enjoy the easy life or not. The ultimate issue is not whether we get to keep hold of our job, our career, our plans or not. The ultimate issue for Jesus is not our popularity now. For Jesus, the ultimate issue, he says, is whether or not we acknowledge him before others. That is, will we speak up? Say that, yes, I follow Jesus. Yes, we bear witness that he is the King. If we do that, then Jesus says, well, he will acknowledge us on that day when we stand before the Father. But if we stay quiet, we don't acknowledge Jesus, we deny him, then on that day, Jesus won't acknowledge us. He'll deny us before the Father. Notice both ways, Jesus reminds us his Father is in heaven. And in this passage already, Jesus has spoken about hell. So Jesus is saying, as you think through, should I follow Jesus? Should I speak for him? Well, eternal realities are at stake. And again, Jesus is saying, this is the bottom line. It's not what other people think. It's not even what we think. It's what God thinks. And ultimately, that verdict he will give on the last day. Well, it's been a few short verses this morning, but Jesus has spoken of profound realities of the truth of life and death, of whether God is in control of this world or not, of heaven and of hell. Now, many people would just dismiss these things because they would dismiss the one who says them. But we know differently, don't we? Because in the end, whether we believe these things will be determined by what we think of Jesus. He's the one who says them. Do we trust him? Is he the king or not? I guess Matthew would say, have you been paying attention to the first 10 chapters? Have you put the evidence together and gone where it leads? Because if we have, well, we must take Jesus seriously, which therefore means we must take what he says in passages like this seriously. And Jesus says, where we ultimately land on him, what we decide about him, will be shown in the response we make, in whether or not we bear witness to him publicly, that we are his followers. And this is a challenge that will face everyone. Notice that beginning of verse 32. Jesus says, everyone who acknowledges me. Verse 33, whoever denies me. It's one or the other. Which response will it be? We know of many today, I guess. They've heard of Jesus, but they think nothing of him. They think nothing then really of their decision to ignore him. Well, Jesus will treat them the same when it couldn't matter more. But for those who realize Jesus is the king, they listen to him, they listen to these things and realize why they mustn't be afraid, and so they do acknowledge Jesus publicly, then what wonderful words from Jesus here for them, for us as his followers. Jesus here is clearly assuming that one day everyone who's ever lived will stand before God. Can you imagine on that day, Jesus says, he's with me, she's with me. And then Jesus' Father, who will also be our Father because of him, will welcome us home. So Jesus says, have no fear of them. Let's pray as we close. Our Father, we do praise you again for sending your Son, Jesus the King, into the world, whose words we can trust. And so as we look to the future with many uncertainties for us, we thank you for this reminder. You are in control. Thank you that you are our Father who values us and cares for us. And so thank you for the wonder of what Jesus our King has done for us, so that with our sins forgiven, we know that we will be welcomed into your presence forever. And so sure of this, would we bear witness to Jesus? Would we acknowledge him without fear of others? Would we rightly fear you for Jesus' sake? Amen.